You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. 10 minutes after 8 Central African time, you are tuning in listening to the Q&A with myself, Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia, and our beloved Fadilatul Honorable Ustad Hazrat Mulana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Hafidhullah. Let's welcome our two engineers, that is Brother Lakolo and of course Brother Lance in the Durban studios. Let's welcome the listeners of Radio Al Ansar International. Let's welcome the listeners of Sirius FM and of course Merkaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Well, tonight is the 17th of Muharram 1441, which is also the 17th of September 2019. Our Zakat Nisab is 5,660 Rand. Mehre Fatimi, 14,200 Rand. Minimum Mahar for Hanafis, 300 Rand. And minimum Mahar for Malikis is 100 Rand. Shafi'is and Hanbalis, no minimum Mahar. Our WhatsApp number is 0847863132. That's our WhatsApp number. You can, inshallah, send us a normal SMS message as well to the international overseas countries +27847863132. Our beloved Ustad's email address is akhussein@gmail.com. That is akhussein@gmail.com. And the other email address is mufti@telcomsa.net. That is mufti@telcomsa.net. Our radio website, Radio Merkaz Sahaba website, is www.merkazsahaba.com. I know somebody asked me last week, is there H at the end? No, there's no H at the end. So let me just say it again, www.merkazsahaba.com. And our beloved Ustad's website is www.muftiakhussein.net. www.muftiakhussein.net. Let's welcome our beloved Fadilatul Ustad on this beautiful Monday night, the 17th of Muharram, 1441. Ustad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. We say thank you very much to our LNL, Lukolo and Lance in the respective studios.
Ustad, let's begin, inshallah, this beautiful night. We're going for Umrah this week, Ustad. What must we read to get our visas? A listener, Ustad.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulil kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, we know that this weekend many, many schools will be closing throughout South Africa, and many amount of people will be going for Umrah, inshaAllah. So now you are waiting for your visas. Read 2 rakat salat daily after Zuhur salat, after Maghrib, after Isha. Allah give tawfiq, wake up for tahajjud, 3:30, 4:30 in the morning. Secondly, read Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil, fa ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal nasir. Whenever you experience some form of difficulty, read this verse, Surah 3, Surah Al-Imran, verse 173. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. Allah is sufficient for us. Allah is the best dispenser of our matters and affairs. With that, you can read Surah 22, verse 78. Fa ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal nasir. Ya Allah, you are the best protector and the best helper, Ya Allah. And those of us who want to go for Umrah this month, September or October or whenever, Muharram, Safar, Rabiul Awwal, so read 2 rakat salat and read this dua abundantly, Surah 2, Surah Baqarah, verse 128. Wa arina manasikana wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. O Allah, show us the places of Umrah and Hajj and forgive us, O Allah. Verily, you are very, very forgiving, very, very merciful.
Ustad, a lady wants to know that can a lady reply to the azan while she is in menses, Ustad?
Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim, Mishkat Sharif, Musnad Ahmad, إِذَا أَذَّنَ الْمُؤَذِّنِ فَقُولُوا مِثْلَ مَا يَقُولُ الْمُؤَذِّنِ ثُمَّ سُوَلُّوا عَلَيَّ. When the muazzin, the caller to prayer, renders the adhan and the call, then you, the people, you should reply in the same words that he is uttering. Thereafter, send salawat, salutations, durood sharif upon me. So if the lady is in the house, or she is somewhere outside, she hears the adhan, and she is in napaki, in a answers in haith, and she replies, it would be permissible, but remember, is not compulsory, obviously. So in a case like that, she will be rewarded. There is no prohibition Islamically for her to repeat those words. Yes, she can't perform salat, she cannot read the Quran Sharif or touch the Quran Sharif, she can't be fasting, she can't perform tawaf, umrah, all these type of things are prohibited, but to render a response to the adhan in her menses, that would be considered as permissible.
Ustad, I have a daughter who is blind. The listener wants to know, where can she go to study, Ustad?
May Almighty Allah Jalla Wala make it easy for you, my daughter, my sister. When we study Islam, our Honorable Ustad, Sheikh Muhammad Ali Sahabuni, Hafidhahullah, he is in Makkah Mukarramah currently more than 50 years. Allah give him and our Honorable Ustad, Hazrat Mufti Rizaul Haq Sahab, complete Shifa Kamil. So he, Sheikh Sahabuni, wrote one tafsir called Tanweerul Adhan. In there he mentioned which Anbiya alayhimu salatu salam were blind. Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam, Nabi Shu'ib alayhi salam, and Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam's incident is mentioned in a noble Quran. Innama ashku bathi wa huzni ilallah. Ya Allah, my beloved handsome Yusuf is gone. I'm weeping, crying, complaining to you, Ya Allah, about my plight. And what a wonderful great incident and many, many lessons to be learned. Thereafter, among the beloved companions of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find Abdullah bin Umm Maktum, Surah 80 and verse number 2, Abasa wa tawalla anja'ul a'ma, was revealed for him, the blind muadhin of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhum, all became blind in the latter portion of their lives. So a great, great trial and a test. So for you, my daughter, yesterday was a historic day for us here in Lens. MashaAllah, our brother Haji Abdul Hamid Ismail, his daughter, MashaAllah, we started the new madrasa here, and we thank our Maulana Hassan Marchi and Hafiz Qasim Parik for coming to that function. And this was the madrasa to Noor Lil Makfufin, the madrasa for the blind, and now they opened the Lanesia chapter. So mashallah, Haji Abdul Hamid's daughter Radia, she is a Hafiza Alima, blind, and she learned the Quran by memory, became a Alima. I went to visit the madrasa on Saturday to see which books they have. Subhanallah, all those books are now transcribed into Braille. And South Africa and Moana Hassan Marchi and our student and graduate from Darulum Newcastle, Sheikh Hussein, who's a master now in Braille, Now if you go to Makkah Mukarramah, Medina Munawwara, you will see the Braille Quran in 6 parts in this. So every portion, every volume has 5 juz, 5 parts of the noble Quran. So what they did, they revised the entire Quran Sharif in Braille and made it into 30 ajza, 30 parts, and now they are exporting it. The first time in the history of the world one can say that this is done, that Braille Quran, and for every Jew, mashallah. What a great distinction. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala reward our ulama, our daughters. Now you want that your daughter should study, so you contact us, you contact Brother Abdul Hamid and his daughter, and you can go and study by her. Wonderful, wonderful initiative. Almighty Allah reward the family, the asatiza, the parents, all of them.
Ameen, summa ameen, summa ameen, Ustad. Ustad, what is Ustad's program for Natal? This week, Ustad?
Inshallah, we will be going to Northern Natal. We'll leave here, Inshallah Al-Aziz, on Wednesday. Our first program will be in Dundee after Isha, Inshallah. And that will be live on Markaz Sahaba and Sirius FM, Inshallah. And our brother Bilal Zikali, Dawood Yusuf, will be there from Durban as well, Inshallah. Then on Thursday night, we will be, Inshallah, there in Escort after Maghrib is the program in the Escort, Big Masjid. Inshallah, Town Masjid. And then Inshallah on Friday Jummah we'll be in Bergville. And then Friday night after Isha, Inshallah, day in Ladysmith. And our host for all these programs will be our brother Haji Bashir Karwa. All may Allah reward him. Saturday afternoon, Zohor time, Inshallah, we'll be in Denhauser. And after Zohor, we'll have a program there. Then Saturday night, Inshallah, after Maghrib, Darulum, Newcastle. You know, I was in Newcastle for 20 years, wonderful years. So, mashallah, many ulama students are coming there. So, inshallah, we will give them some advices. So, that is our program, inshallah, for this week. Make dua to Almighty Allah, Jalla wa'ala. Almighty Allah makes our safar and our trip and all the programs a huge, huge success. And, inshallah, becomes a means of hidayat for many, many people throughout the world, inshallah, Al-Aziz.
Ameen, ameen, thumma ameen. Ustaz, can a lady recite Qunutun Nazila?
Wonderful question. Remember, the Ummah are going through difficult times in the micro, in the macro. You look at South Africa, official figures, 58 murders per day. And now the big issue of, you know, understand, femicide, killing females, and infanticide, feticide, killing children, abortion, all those are satanic things. And remember, absolutely haram in Islam. But you see, all this is an increase. And then there is no real law and order in many parts. So much looting, stealing, plundering going on. Then you see in the world, tomorrow is the elections in the apartheid regime of Israel. And then we see in Kashmir what the mushrikeen and idol worshippers are doing to the Muslims. So many parts of the world. So yes, we will encourage that. You and my sisters, Fajr time, read Fajr on time. So in the first rakat, you read your sunnats, kul ya al-kafirun, kul wallah, in your sunnats after Surah Fatiha in both rakats. Second, and then in your first, for example, kul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq and kul a'udhu bi rabbin nas after Surah Fatiha. So when you say in the second rakat of the first, min al-jinnati wa nas, you go into ruku. After ruku, you finish Subhanabil Azim 3 times, 5 times, and so forth. Samiallahu liman hamida. Then read kunut. Allahumma hadina fi man hadait, wa afina fi man afait. So whichever du'as you know, you read. And in that way there, you are practicing on the sunnah of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this hadith is reported by Sibtu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beloved Nawasa. Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anhu reported the hadith of Qunut. And remember that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read the Qunut Fajr time and Maghrib time in the last rakat. The hadith is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. So therefore we advise and recommend all the ulama and imams and the sisters at home that yes, read the kunut, make dua and cry to Almighty Allah. Almighty Allah grants victory to the Muslim Ummah and decimate and destroy Ameen. The enemies wherever they are.
Ameen, 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 summa ameen. Ustad, is it acceptable to make masah on a bandage, on the foot, Ustad?
If a person, for example, underwent an operation or a person hurt himself in an accident or whatever the circumstances are and now you have a bandage on your foot. So there are 3-4 scenarios. One scenario will be that you can remove it easily. So in that case there, you can't make masah, you wash the feet. Second one is you can remove it, but the problem is if water touches there, your condition then will deteriorate and so forth and so on. So in a case like that, you make masah. Third one will be that you can't remove it because remember it is too difficult or very, very, like almost impossible. So then also you make masah. Yeah, there is one masla I need to elaborate on. Because you are speaking about the bandage on the foot. So we need to draw a distinction. One is masa ala al-khufain. You are wearing your leather socks. So when you wear your leather socks and you make masa, so before you wore your leather socks, you made the wudu and then you wore that leather socks. So when you make masa, you just take your four fingers and make masa on the khuf, on the leather socks on top. But when you make masa on your bandage, that is called masa ala al-jabira, then that masa you have to make of the entire foot. You have to make masa on top, you have to make masa at the bottom, you have to make masa around the, on the ankles, at the back, everywhere, just like how you wash your foot. So always draw this distinction. Many a time when nasu ana ghafilun, people are unaware of these type of things. Masa ala al-khufain is something else on the leather socks. And masa ala al-jabira, when you make masa on the bandage, on your hand, on your foot, then you have to make masa of the entire area that you normally would wash. So that is very, very important. Then your salat would be valid.
Which dua should one read, Fadilatul Ustad, for the oppressed Muslims in the world, Ustad?
When Nabi Musa alayhi salatu salam's people were experiencing oppression, transgression from the Pharaoh and his cronies and army, Surah 10, verse number 85-86. So Musa alayhi salatu salam taught them. Nabi Musa alayhi salam said, "Read, O people, Alallahi tawakkalna, upon Allah alone do we place our trust. Rabbana la taj'alna fitnatan lilqawmi dhalimin." That, Ya Allah, do not make us a trial and a target for people who are the zalims and the oppressors. وَنَجِّنَا بِرَحْمَتِكَ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Ya Allah, you protect and rescue and save us through your mercy from a people who are the disbelievers. Let's just go around the world quickly. We see tomorrow in apartheid Israel these elections. Every Muslim, if you have iman, tonight before you sleep, Allah give tawfiq, you wake up tomorrow tahajjud time. Make dua, Allahumma alayka bil yahudi zalimin. Allah punish this Netanyahu and his army. Ameen. And his people. They want to annex the land of the Muslim in the West Bank. Today's news, he said that he will annex the land there of the settlement where the Jews are in Hebron, in Khalilur Rahman, is Muslims, it belongs to us. But they do as they please because they say they are the chosen people. And they say they have Trump there and they have Uncle Sam there. So all these are satanic activities. People can see the true colors of the apartheid regime of Israel. Allahumma alayka bil yahudi zalimin. Allahumma ahsim adada waqtulhum badada. Ya Allah, you destroy and decimate them as you destroyed the nations of the past. Make them a lesson, Ya Allah, for humanity and posterity. Then we see the mushrikeen there, the idol worshippers. What things they are doing there in India. And sad to say, our Maulvis there in India, many of us, of them rather, are selling the ummah out wholesale. Remember that is a disgrace what is happening. So we must remember this, that we need to speak the truth and we should not curry favor with the zalimeen. وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارِ. Do not even bend towards the zalims and oppressors. The fire will reach you. وَمَا لَكُم مِّنَ اللَّهِ. You won't get any assistance and protection from Almighty Allah. That is Quran Sharif. Third one, we must remember, you take China. In Muharram, they told the Muslims, your new year has started. It's a festival for you. And they told them, take your khamar and khinzir, take wine and swine and celebrate your new year. Now imagine all this goes. And it's under the radar. Hardly Muslims come to know about these things here. Because the Muslim today, munafiqeen and hypocrites, we have become majority of the ummah. So remember, they engage in their Bollywood, Hollywood, Robin Hood, movies, and what have you. So when we have lost direction, we got no shame left. So therefore, you find all these problems. وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُّصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. When calamity strike you, it is because of your own deeds and your own actions. So we need to be clear. Almighty Allah's help is there, but Almighty Allah's help is conditional. إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهِ يَنْصُرُكُمْ. When you help the deen of Allah, Allah will help you. Inna Allah la yughayyiru ma bi بقوم حتى يغيروا ما بأنفسهم. Verily Almighty Allah will not change the plight and the condition of a people and a nation until and unless they change within themselves. May Almighty Allah Jalla Wala have mercy on the Muslims in Kashmir, in Palestine, in Yemen, in Syria. There the Alawi regime, Kafir regime are murdering the Sunnis. And remember that you find Burma, so many places. Allah, Allah, Allahu Musta'an. Ya Allah, as yateem, we beg you, Allah, have mercy on this Ummah and Muslimah. We are the Ummatis of Rahmatulil Alameen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Takbir, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you, my beloved Fadilatul Ustad. Very, very true. We have lost our platform. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept every word of our beloved Ustad. It's exactly 8:30, spot on. We go, inshallah, for an ad break. When we get back, inshallah, we will continue with the Q&A. Don't go away. Stay tuned.
You're listening to a Marcus Sahaba online radio podcast.
27 minutes to 9. It's a beautiful Monday evening. I want to welcome the listeners of Radio Al Ansar and, of course, Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. 0847863132. That is our WhatsApp number. You can send us any questions you would love to ask. You are free to SMS us, inshallah, to the international overseas countries, plus 2784-786-3132. Ustaz, let's go to, this is from India all the way. It says here, Mufti Sahab, I just want to know that here in India, people on Eid al-Fitr, after the namaz, when return home, they greet family members and hug, etc. They also give money to the young one of the family and to other relations as well. Please advise us on this, Ustaz.
When it is the day of Eid, Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha, then after the Eid Salat and so forth, in Fathul Bari it is mentioned that the Sahaba radiallahu, Fathul Bari is by Ibn Hajar Asqalani, the commentary of Bukhari Sharif, Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala an used to say, Taqabbal Allahu minna wa minkum, may Almighty Allah accept from us and from you. In fact, Sheikh Albani rahimahullah has written a book on this, and he said that the hadith is proven, even Nabi alayhi salatu salam said, Taqabbal Allahu minna wa minkum. So if they greet one another, it is a day of festival, meaning of happiness and joy. Not that festival we go do haram things and so forth. So it is a joyous occasion. Till there is no problem. If family members and that have come from far and far wide and they greet one another, hug one another, so all that is no problem. What we should not be doing is, we should not be getting involved in haram activities that will be pouring water over all the good deeds we did, whether it is during Ramadan or whether it is slaughtering our animal, making qurbani and so forth. So that we should not be doing. But if it is like the examples I gave, till day it is permissible, no problem.
It says, dear beloved Mufti, this is a question of a very heartbroken mother and that of the brothers and sisters of a 21-year-old daughter, Ustad, who wants to lose her iman. The mother's health is also badly affected because of this. She wants to marry a non-Muslim boy. She wants to move out of her mother's home and rent a place of her own. Please advise the mother and daughter regarding this serious problem, Ustad, urgently.
My sister, you say you are a Muslim and your mother is Muslim and all of us are Muslims. So our constitution is the Quran Sharif, the Sunnah Mubarakah and teaching of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Go to the Quran Sharif, Surah 60, Surah Mumtahina, in the 28th Supara, 28 Jews, verse number 10, La hunna hillu lahum, wa la hum yahilluna lahun. Remember that the Muslim woman is not allowed for her and permissible for her to marry any non-Muslim male, whether it's a Hindu, whether it's a Yahudi, Jew, Christian, whatever. وَلَا هُمْ يَحِلُّونَ لَهُنْ. Almighty Allah mentioned it both ways. The Muslim lady cannot marry a non-Muslim male, and a non-Muslim man cannot marry a Muslim lady. Absolutely haram. Now see what you want to do. You want to break your mother's heart. You want to go rent a place. place and then stay with this non-Muslim. All your children will be harami children. Every moment Allah's curse will be upon you. And if you say it's permissible, you are murtadda, out of the fold of Islam, for which there's capital punishment according to majority scholars, Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanbalis, Hanafis say a lady must be incarcerated, imprisoned, if she becomes a murtadda. So look at the ramifications, consequences. Sister, it's a no-brainer. You cannot do that. The non-Muslim will use you and thereafter he'll leave you. How many examples you saw in India, South Africa, other places? So don't even think about that. And remember, it will be khasirat dunya wal akhirah. You will destroy this dunya for yourself and the year after. So don't even think about it. Go to your mother and your brothers. Ask them for maafi, forgiveness. Ask Almighty Allah for forgiveness. And Almighty Allah will enhance your iman and give you a good, pious Muslim husband.
Ameen, ameen, thumma ameen. Ustaz, a listener wants to know, would you be able to send to me Mufti A.K. Hussein's recording of Umrah seminar in Durban, Ustaz?
Yes, what you should do is this, that Umrah seminar that we had there, just contact the Ansar studio or contact Hafiz Hussein Wadi and they have recorded it and I'm sure it must be on our website as well. So go to our website and inshallah you should find it there, www.muftiakhosen.net, and inshallah that you will find it there, inshallah. And otherwise go to Markaz Sahaba .com and you should find something there. And if you don't find it there, then just contact Hafiz Hussein Wadi there in Durban, our studio is there, or contact the Ansar team and definitely they will have CDs and so forth. Then you can purchase it from the Ansar bookshop there, inshallah.
Ustaz, I would like to marry a man from Saudi Arabia in Jeddah. He has good character and Islam. What is stopping me from marrying him is his love for America. Even though they destroy and bomb Muslim countries like Afghanistan, etc., Ustad.
You must remember that if you want to marry any person, you must be happy, and your father, your mother, your parents must be happy. If your father does not give permission, then you cannot marry him. If the person has so much love for the non-Muslims and he loves America, loves American culture, Hollywood, Bollywood, so already you are asking trouble for yourself. تُحِبُّونَهُمْ وَلَا يُحِبُّونَكُمْ. Today the Muslim Ummah is such, they love the non-Muslim culture, but the non-Muslims hate them and don't like them. So people today suffer from the inferiority complex, the ihsas-e-kamtari we say in Urdu, which means they feel that what we have, Allah forbid, is inferior, and what the non-Muslims have is superior, and they will tell you the West is best and white is right. We condemn that totally. So I don't know the person, I don't know you, but if you are asking me for mashura, then I'll tell you, forget it and don't even think about it.
Ustad, it says, may you please remind Mufti Saab that he mentioned an ayat in the Holy Quran which says that we must give out our sadaqah before we die. Ustad.
Remember, Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala teaches us in Surah 63 verse 10. I said that Almighty Allah is addressing the Muslims, wa anfiqu, and spend, mimma razaqnakum, that from what we gave you, what Allah gave us, is not our business acumen, is not our genius and degrees, it is the decree of Almighty Allah. Min qabli an ya'tiya ahadakum al-maut, do all these things before death approaches you. When sakarat and the pains and pangs of death come, what will the Muslim say? فيقول, the Muslim will say, رَبِّ لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ جَلٍ قَرِيبٍ فَأَصْوَدَّقْ. Ya Allah, give me respite, give me extension in time. One day, 1 hour, Ya Allah, hence I can give some charity. That time he will think of charity. وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ, and I will be from the pious people. Today I was coming from somewhere, and then every robot, every traffic light, there's youngsters, boza, boza, nigalomali, boza, whole day they think we Father Christmas, you know, and this type. But now I think, say I die now, so then I will have afsos and regret. So we just take out one rand or so and just give them. So for you is your intention, and for them is whatever they want to. So remember, we don't encourage that people must beg. But if people come to us and we have the means, then give it. So tomorrow when the time of death come, we don't have that afsos and regret. And say, Allah, give me that extension in time so I can give some charity. Because Allah's answer, Surah 63, verse 11, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam's demise took place when the Master alayhi salam was 63 years old, in the 11th year of the Hijrah. You see, Ijazul Quran, Lataiful Quran, the beauty, the style, the message of the Quran. وَلَيْ يُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا. Allah will not give extension to any person when the time for death approaches. So we all have to leave this world. Surah 63 and verses 10 and 11, you peruse it and study it.
Somebody says, Ustad, I am paralyzed from the waist down and pray my salah in my wheelchair. I need to know if I must still put a musalla on the floor in front of my wheelchair. Ustad.
MashaAllah, yeah, in our khanka, just opposite my house, we got 2-3 masjids here, MashaAllah. So we visit all of them, and there I see one youngster pushing his father or grandfather. Mm-hmm. In fact, the other day we arrived together and I opened the door for them so they could come in easily. So you don't have to put no musalla, no nothing. You sit on your wheelchair. You sit on your wheelchair and you face the Qibla and you continue with your salat. There's no problem with that. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wasallam addressed Imran bin Hussein radiallahu anhuma, father and son, both are companions and students of the Master Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The hadith in Bukhari Sharif, salli qa'iman, stand and read. Fa illam tastati fa salli qa'idan. If you can't stand and read, then sit and read. Sit and read means sit on the floor. You can't do that, then sit on the chair, sit on a wheelchair and read your salat. Totally valid. There's no problem with that.
Somebody says, Ustad, when you coughed just now, you said ma'af. What language is that? And what does it mean, Brother Ziad? Ustad?
Brother Ziad, that is just, you know, takyai kalam. Takyai kalam means our habit now. So ma'af means we ask your pardon. We beg your pardon. We ask you for forgiveness for the interruption of the cough. So you understood? So that is how the people, they say, excuse me. Or they say, I beg your pardon. So we just say ma'af. So that is what it is. Don't worry, brother. We didn't sway you.
Ustad, let us go to this question coming in right now. I'm reading it. Okay, Ustad. All right. It says here, at the end, my name is Austin. The question is, the issue of the marriage to young girls by older Muslim men is heinous. But whether you say it is not allowed, it happens every day and nobody in the Muslim world objects. So Austin says, the men are not arrested, the men are not stoned to death for denying the Quran. You Muslim females are nothing more than objects of a Muslim man's pleasure. And I can tell you for a fact, no old Muslim woman would dare try to marry a 10-year-old Muslim boy. My name is Austin Mustad, who's listening to the Q&A.
Thank you, Austin. That's why we give you this platform, so you can ask your questions or you can vent your anger. We don't know what is your reason, but we will say it is a gentle inquiry on your side. And we thank you for that and really appreciate it. Austin, before I respond to that question there, I ask you one question. Are you going to judge any religion by its teachings, or are you going to judge any religion by the people who say they are following that religion? Let us be fair about this. I can turn the whole argument around and say, in the Christian church, that the Pope is going, whether it's Pope Francis or the previous Pope or the Pope before him, going from country to country, and they are now apologizing for pedophilia. And you know that the monk is one side and the nun is on the other side, and the monkey business that goes on. So then with the young boys, they are doing all their things. So what will you say that? Will you say that the Christianity is promoting that, or will you say it is the weakness of people? Obviously you will say it's the weakness of people. So yes, we don't deny. Remember, whatever you ask, what is the truth, we will tell you. And whatever is incorrect, that also we will highlight. There are many, many problems in the Muslim Ummah. And one of them is this, that some Muslim men, they are old, but they're not cold. And now they want to get married to young, young girls, 10, 12, 15 years old, and so forth. And remember, many a time, there is monetary value attached to it. The girl's father is a poor person, and this old man is filthy rich. He tells that old man there, the girl's father, I will give you a million dirhams, or million rupees, or $100,000, or $50,000, or whatever, a substantial amount. So that person there virtually is selling his daughter to that old man just because of monetary gain. So obviously Islam condemns it, and Islam does not allow it. But to be fair, Austin, let us draw the distinction, what is Islam and what is happening. Today, if you go to democracies, Western democracies, that profess and confess that they're living a Christian life, therefore they have Christmas Day off, they have Easter off, and public holidays. But 90% of them are promoting prostitution. Majority of them are promoting abortion. Majority of them are promoting Adam and Eve, Adam and Steve. Can that be just justified, Austin? So you also need to be fair. You must remember that when we judge, then you study Judaism and not what the Jewish apartheid regime of Israel, the rogue regime, terrorist regime is doing. When you want to study Christianity, then you go to the original sources. You don't study what the priests are doing today with them or the children. When you study Islam, study the true Islam in the original form. That is what we are speaking about. That's what we promote. That is what we practice to the best of our ability. And that is what we will live for and die for. Yes, I'm the first one. Just now I made the statement and said that the Muslims today, many majority are munafikin. Munafikin means hypocrites. We are selling the deen just for monetary gain. I made the statement just now. I didn't know your question is coming. So yes, my brother Austin, we accept your point, but that does not scar or taint the image of Islam. Islam is something else, and what the Muslims are doing, majority, that is something else, because remember, they feel that they want to impress the West, because in their mind, West is the best, or white is right. So that is the big problem.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. I see Brother Austin says it. Thank you, sir. Now that makes a lot of sense. Brother Austin Mustad.
Don't worry, Austin. Any question you have, anything, you send it to us and we will answer you, inshallah, God willing, with the mercy of Allah.
Subhanallah. Somebody says, respected Mufti Saab, with regards to selection of a spouse for marriage, what is Mufti Saab's advice on physical attraction? Should one focus on piety and disregard attraction, or should one marry a person with good akhlaq, piety with expectations of attraction appearing after nikah? Ustad.
It's not what I say or Moana Arafat say. No, it is what Almighty Allah Jalla Wala states. It is what Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us. That is Islam. Islam means to submit, surrender willingly, lovingly, sincerely to wahi and revelation. We give preference to revelation over reason. So whenever there's a conflict between common sense, which is not common today, the end revelation, we must give revelation preference. Now let's look at it. Life is all about a list of priorities. My wife tells me, go to the supermarket, buy this, buy this. The most important thing, she will write down that this is important, this, and write at the bottom, if you buy it, good, you don't buy it, it's okay also. Right? So now when I want to get married, you want to get married, now what will be the criteria to select a spouse? So first thing, the person must be a Muslim. Muslim according to the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. That is, we believe in the Quran Sharif, we believe in the Sunnah Mubarakah, we believe in all the Sahaba, companions of Nabi alayhi salatu salam, being the greatest people after all the messengers. And we follow the Awliyaullah, the special friends of Allah, and we accept the four schools of thought. Once the person is a Ahmadi, Qadiani, Aga Khani, all these type of characters, Alawis, all of them, so Rawafis, they're out of the fold of Islam, even though they have Muslim name. So that's first issue. Second issue will be that you have to study the taqwa, the piety of that person, the character of this person, because this will be your spouse for keeps. It's not buying a car or a computer or some cell phone. You can just trade it in, sell it, buy it, and so forth. No, it is for keeps. So there must be certain things that you are on the same platform. Then we don't say discard beauty. No, there must be some form of attraction as well. So day after you look at the jamaliha, the beauty of that lady, you look at maliha, at the wealth of that lady, you look at hasabiha, the status, which family she comes from. So it is a list of priorities, but we need to categorize them correctly. Today, the truth of the matter is, majority of the Muslims, if the boy comes with a Nissan or Toyota, then they will say, we're making istikhara, we'll think about it. When he comes with the Merc and BMW, be my wife, then they say, lungile. They'll say, everything is okay. So, lungile is right, nelukolo, lungile. So, you must remember that they say, it's alright, no. So, we're selling our principles because of monetary gain, and therefore you find the divorce rate is spiraling out of control. Allah protect us all.
Subhanallah. Let us go to UK, Ustad. This is from Manchester. I'm reading the question as it just came now. It says, Mufti Saab, my name is Zardad. I want to know about a certain hadith in Fadail A'mal which advocates loud congregational zikr. It is on page 115, hadith number 6, virtues of dhikr. It mentions Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam and some sahaba sitting in a room and closing the door and making loud congregational zikr, reported by Ahmad and Darul and Dar Qutni. And he says, Mufti Saab, is it authentic? And how old, my family wants to know, Ustad, is Maulana Arafat? There isn't a dull moment whenever we listen to the Q&A. This is from Brother Zardad from Manchester, Ustad.
MashaAllah, Brother Zardad in Manchester, Barakallahu Fikum. Yes, the question in Maulana Arafat's age, as you ask him, he'll tell you all that. So that Maulana Arafat might be old, but he's not cold. So that he's young at heart. So,
I mean...
Anyway, let's carry on. The masla is called a zikr bil jahr, to make loud zikr. So there is no prohibition. The hadith kitab you are quoting is Musnad Ahmad and Dara Qutni. And remember, if you want authentic ahadith on this, our honorable Ustad, Hazrat Mufti Rizaul Haqsab, has written a whole book on this, of zikr bil jahr. Hazrat Sheikh Mona Zakaria Nawar Allah Marqadahu, his book is written on zikr bil jahr. So many ulama have written on this. Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahimullah, the Grand Mufti of Pakistan, wrote that if you are speaking of zikr bil jahr, so it's permissible. However, if you are doing it at your home or you are doing it in a masjid or wherever, then there are certain conditions that are attached to it. Number one, that you must not be mukhil. You must not be causing harm and disturbance to other people. I go to the masjid and people are making loud zikr, but I want to read salat, I want to read Quran, I want to make dua. Then for them to make loud zikr is not permissible. Similarly, in your own home, the father, the wife, the mother, husband, whatever, so they all are together, the children, and now the parents want to inculcate in them how we learn surahs and, you know, chapters in madrasa. The ustad reads, وَالتِّينِ وَالزَّيْتُونِ وَتُورِ سِينِينَ وَهَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينِ. So, and we all read collectively. So like that, the father wants his house must become the madrasa, a khanka, a place where Allah Ta'ala ka naam goonchta hai, where the echoes of us. So he reads, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. If he's doing that, it's excellent. Remember, he's bringing the love of Almighty Allah, bringing the love of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his children's hearts and so forth. So rather than learning all the names of the actors and actresses and football stars and shaitans like that, so remember, he take the name of Almighty Allah. So if you want the authentic hadith, remember in Abu Dawood, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam buried one sahabi and said, Kana yarfa'u zikra, that he used to make zikr loudly. Open Abu Dawood, Kitabul Janais, you will find it there. So you must remember, there are many, many examples. I gave you the books, you can look look at it. So a book written specifically on this topic of Zikr Bil Jahar, our Honorable Ustad Hazrat Mufti Rizaul Haq Sahib Hafidhullah wa Shafa, Allah give him Shifa
complete.
And Hazrat Sheikh, who was one of the greatest muhaddisin of our time, he wrote a whole book on this, which I have by me. So you must remember that to say it is objectionable, no, it is permissible with conditions.
Somebody wants to know, Ustad, pass from a saw. Is it pak or napak?
100% napak. You must remember that sadid. So once it comes out from that saw, so you have to remove it, meaning that you can't let it now go and spill on your body, on your clothing and so forth. You need to wash it, and your wudu and everything will break as well.
Somebody says, please make dua for me and my siblings. We are having a wedding soon with so much misunderstand, all because of Sunnah, Mufti Saab. And now there is so much of anger and arrogance. I don't agree with so much. I'm not perfect. I want to attend out of love and respect. I'm a haji and I'm trying to look after my hajj. But this dunya is so hard, Ustad.
Remember that why you make it so hard. I give you two hadith and I tell you something. All right? So you must remember, when we say we want barakah, blessings, what is blessing? Al-ashya'ul qalila wal-manafi'ul kathira. The resources are little bit, the time is less, the money is less, everything is less, but the benefit is so much. So this is the mercy of Almighty Allah. So Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, hadith in Mishkat Sharif, that inna a'zaman nikahi baraka, the best nikah is the one aysaruhu ma'una, is where there is the least expenditure. Today millions are spent, remember this, all 90% just for ostentation and just to show off. You will find the hall is draped, the chairs got parda, the ceiling got parda and curtains, but the women are half naked, and then they're making dua for barakat. What barakat will come? Allah's la'anat will come. Remember that. Let us be honest on these issues. There's no sense beating around the bush. So remember one. Second one, hadith in Bulughul Maram, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, khayru sadaq aysaruhu, the best mahar is the one that is little bit. Today that brother Austin, our brother, asked the question. If you go to some Arab countries, Muslim countries, they demand million rand, million rupees, million dollars, million dirhams for mahar, the marital gift we give to our wife. So that goes big problems, people can't afford it. Islam does not approve that. Islam says the marital gift should be something that is easy, that people can give, and it is easily accessible. So that is what. You know, when I got married, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So my father-in-law, Allah, he was a very, very good person. My father-in-law, mother-in-law, Allah give them Jannatul Firdaus.
Ameen.
So he told the people, the men, you know, all of you on the floor, whole lot must sit on the floor and eat. I remember my cousins and uncles and that came with their three-piece suit and their ties and that, and the way they were turning this way, that way, they found it very, very difficult to sit on the floor. This is many years ago, it was not so easy like today. But you see, when you stand for your principles, Allah will give you so much barakah because you revive one sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fattabi'uni, follow me, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yuhbibkumullah, you become the beloved of Almighty Allah. So the problem today is what? In our weddings and functions, we worry about people. What will he say? What will she say? I ask you, what will Allah say? What will Nabi alayhi salam say? That is the Muslim. Think about that.
9 o'clock, spot on. We go for our Isha Azan here in Johannesburg, and of course in Durban. We go for the 9 o'clock news. Listeners, don't go away. We will be back. Stay tuned.